Content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, April 20th through Sunday, April 26th, 2026. The commentary for April was written by Katie Nakamura. Katie Nakamura is an Episcopal priest in the Diocese of Alabama and has served in a variety of church contexts, most recently as the presiding bishop's staff officer for church planting. Now, she can often be found with her running group, playing the flute and singing, or spending time with her husband and two daughters. The commentary for Monday, April 20th, begins as follows with a passage from Psalm 25, verse 1 and 2. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. My God, I put my trust in you. Let me not be humiliated, nor let my enemies triumph over me. I prayed this prayer several times a day in the early years of my church plant, says the author. Although a new church receives a lot of energy and support, it also carries the burden of incredible expectations. People frequently ask me how many people we had, how much money we had, and if I could tell them success stories. I felt as if the weight of the project's success rested solely on my shoulders, and that I would be the one to take the blame if it failed. And if it failed, I didn't know if I would have another chance at a job in the church. Throughout this time, my ongoing prayer was, My God, I put my trust in you. With these words, I was regularly reminded that I am never carrying the weight of the church's success or failure. God is always there with me. And now I'm going to read the first few verses from Psalm 25. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For your goodness' sake, O Lord. And the moving forward question for this Monday, April 20th, is how can you support church plants in your area or across the wider church? The commentary for Tuesday, April 21st, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 8. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Jesus calls us to bear fruit worthy of repentance. The author of Colossians prays that we lead lives worthy of the Lord. I've rarely stopped to consider the concept of worthiness. If we think of worthiness as a measure of what we deserve, it can feel incredibly daunting. If a life worthy of God is a perfect life, I know I am doomed to fail. Probably you are too. But worth is not an equitable transaction. It is not objective, and it is often unmeasurable. A piece of art, beautiful in the eye of the beholder, might sell for millions of dollars. A cause might be worth fighting for to one person and worth making peace over to someone else. Worth, like all things of God, is relational. God knows that. If God were keeping a checklist, few of us would earn an A in discipleship. But if we are willing to follow, to hold the decisions of our lives in prayer, and to take risks for the sake of the gospel, God will make us worthy. Now I'm going to read the full gospel passage for this day from Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 12. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, we warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what would change if you trusted that God makes you worthy rather than trying to earn it? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, April 22nd. It begins with a passage from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 20. "And through Jesus Christ, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross." As I write this, it seems that there is a great deal on this earth that longs for reconciliation. I hear about active wars and rumors of future wars. I see how so many of my fellow humans are estranged from the earth, from family members, and from spiritual community. Many of us are even estranged from ourselves, unable to access our capacity for love, generosity, and the divine spark within our souls. I am comforted and intrigued by the past tense translation of Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. God has made peace through the cross. God has reconciled all things to himself. This is not something that might happen. It's not a potential reward. Reconciliation has already happened through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The question is, can we believe and trust this enough that we can now go and be reconciled to one another, to the earth, and to ourselves? And now I'll read this full passage from Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, And through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. And the moving forward question for today, what step can you take toward reconciliation with someone else, the earth, or yourself? The commentary for Thursday, April 23rd, also comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 29. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. What is worth a life of constant toil and struggle? For Japanese activist Toyohiko Kagawa, whom we remember on this day, understanding the causes and consequences of poverty and advocating for the poor in this country was worth immense personal toil and sacrifice. He was a person of faith who believed any kind of human oppression was wrong. He even made a public apology to the people of China for Japan's occupation, a stance that resulted in his being targeted by the Japanese government. Yet Kagawa didn't just advocate. At one point in his life, he moved into a Kobe slum to live in solidarity with the people he knew were suffering. Like the writer of Colossians, he would say that it was God who inspired him with the energy, passion, and courage to do these things. And now I'm going to read from the full passage here of Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, through chapter 2, verse 7. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations, but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding, and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, and I rejoice to see your morale and the firmness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And the moving forward statement for this Thursday is, as we honor Toyohiko Kagawa on this day, may we follow his example to find the causes of love that make struggle worthwhile. The commentary for Friday, April 24th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Do you sense the kingdom of heaven is near? Jesus speaks as if the kingdom is just at our fingertips, not above the earth or beyond this reality, but right here. Notice that at this point, Jesus is not crying out from the wilderness or the holy city of Jerusalem, but from the small fishing village of Capernaum, where he has made a home. It is the incarnate God's interaction with the everyday lives of everyday people that brings the kingdom into focus. That interaction includes healing, sharing the good news of God's love and forgiveness, and developing friendships with his first disciples. Jesus also reminds us that when we glimpse this nearness of the kingdom, it will compel us to act differently. This sort of repentance is a calling home. We can give up the pretenses, the shame, the hypocrisy, and the resentments that are holding us back from living into the kingdom. And now I'm going to read the full passage from today's Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 17. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And the moving forward question today is, the kingdom is near. How will your posture, your attitude, and your actions shift in light of this good news? In our commentary for this day, Saturday, April 25th, we commemorate St. Mark, evangelist and apostle. The commentary begins with a passage from the first chapter of Mark, first verse 1, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark 1, verse 1, isn't just an opening line. It is a title. The 16 chapters of Mark's Gospel, in which Jesus heals, teaches, makes friends, tells stories, is betrayed, and rises to life, are only the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. The story has continued for another 2,000 years, and I imagine will continue in our lives and the generations after us as we encounter the Holy Spirit and the risen Christ. Even though I come from a liturgical tradition, my church frequently has visitors from witnessing church traditions who expect us to make time in the service for individuals to offer their testimony. A testimony is simply the story of how Jesus is working in their lives. Now, this happens often enough that we have built time into our sermon for people in the congregation to share aloud. These moments are powerful reminders that the Jesus story did not end with Mark 16. The resurrection was only the beginning of God's ongoing good news. And now I'm going to read from the very first passages in the New Testament from Mark chapter 1, verse 1 through 15. The proclamation of John the Baptist. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. And the moving forward question for this Saturday is, how do you offer your testimony? Now, as we near the end of this week and the end of this program, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, April 26th, the fourth Sunday in Easter in 2026. It begins with a passage from Psalm 23, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." One of my church friends spent 2 years living on the street. While he suffered cold, hunger, and loneliness in the encampment, he tells me that his relationship with God, nature, and other human beings actually blossomed. Blasting air conditioning was no longer a constant hindrance to feeling the warmth of the sun. He could sit in an outdoor cafe for hours and engage in conversation with random strangers, not always knowing where food or shelter were going to come from next. He found himself praying far more than he ever had before. My friend wouldn't willingly go back to being homeless, but he says he is grateful for the time he spent learning to enjoy small things, to make do with less, and to be more consciously dependent on God. Like many, I err on the side of self-reliance, infatuation, with success, and the idea that I need to be helping God rather than the other way around. Since hearing my friend's story, I have been wondering how I might reframe my life and perspective so that I too am encouraged to remember my dependence and to trust in God. And now I'm going to read Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now I'll also read another scripture for today, and this is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home, and they ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And the moving forward question for this Sunday, April 26, the fourth Sunday of Easter, where in your life can you rely more deeply on God? And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let us close with a special prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Let us pray. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you are hearing us better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you so much for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of ForwardMovement.org. Goodbye until next time.